بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. How's everybody doing? Good, alhamdulillah. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're finishing this surah, Surah An-Naba. We're going to be taking a look at ayat 39 and 40, inshallah. Allah ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا. That is the true day. So he who wills may take to his Lord a way of return. So you can see that this is a concluding remark, these last few two ayat. You can see it's very much concluding the situation. It's interesting that Allah says ذَلِكَ instead of هَذَا. We both know them. Both of them are, you know, terms of ishara or pointing. You know, this versus that. This is for something closer. That is for something further. We all know this. Now, why does Allah Ta'ala use that with regards to Judgment Day? A few commentaries like Alusi and others, rahimahullah, they say that instead of this, ذَلِكَ instead of هَذَا, is not to highlight that Judgment Day is far away. It's not saying like, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ, that far away day that's so long in the future. That's not the objective, to say that's in a distant time in the future. Rather, it's to stress that our conception of that day, despite just learning about it in the previous ayat, is still far from a true appreciation of the gravity of that day. You get the idea? So we just learned about Yawm al-Qiyamah, we talked about the, you know, the realities of heaven and hell and so forth, but still, it's still far from our conception as to the reality of that day. So Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ, not, if it said هَذَا, then it would say, okay, all these descriptions, now this, you understand it, good, you get this, now this is that day, right? Because there would be the indication that you kind of grasp the concept. Allah says, no, I gave you all these descriptions, but it's still very distant in your mind as to how serious and heavy that day is. So it's so great that we cannot imagine. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ الْحَقِّ. And al-yawm al-haq can be translated a number of ways. It can mean that is the true day, as in the day that will undoubtedly take place. It will happen, there's no avoiding it. This absolute truth contrasts the beginning of the surah, where the disbelievers were offering their own thoughts and opinions and objections to the idea of Judgment Day. Allah is saying, no, absolutely, it's a true day, no getting around it. And of course, this is in opposition to those who deny Judgment Day. That's the first opinion. Another way of translating it is, that day is the truth. ذلك اليوم الحق, that day is the truth. Implying that all the lies will be exposed. We all know, you know, conspiracies, politically, what's going on? You know, why does the government have this program? And what happened? What did they do in that covert operation in that country? And what about the aliens? And what about cover-ups? And what about, you know, different political alliances that we don't know about? And assassinations? How'd that guy die? It mysteriously disappeared. And oh, there's just, the list goes on and on and on about all the different, and what's with the subliminal messaging and the different chemicals and this and the water and in the food and the, subhanAllah, we could go on and on for days and days and days about conspiracies and which of them are true, which of them are valid, which are not. Everything. It's a world full of lies, and that is going to be the day where all the truth comes out. The true day is contrasting this dunya, which is full of wasted opportunities, useless pursuits, meaningless endeavors, false promises, misinformation, fake people. You know, oh, I'm your friend, really, I'm on your side, and they're not. Munafiqeen, hypocrites. There's so much fakeness in this world. There's so much nonsense in this world. This is going to be a day of truth. And if you're tired of all the lies and you want truth now, then take your Lord as somebody to regularly return to. How do you return back to your Lord? Regularly through your prayer and also through a daily reading of the Quran. Yani a wird. This is a term, or wurud is the plural, which is a daily reading of Quran. It's a beautiful term too. Al wird, yani, really technically means every day when the Arabs would, you know, be living in the desert, they'd have to make a little trek to go to a well and get their daily bucket of water, right? That was considered their wird, their daily bucket of water they take back to their home for all their drinking and washing and so on and so forth. So that concept, you see in like old movies and stuff, people walking with a big bucket on their head and stuff like this. These type of images imply what? That this was the classic way of living throughout, you know, centuries. And so this wird is not something physical of getting a bucket of water, but daily getting your spiritual bucket of water, your cleansing and your refreshment and your, so forth. So that is the second opinion, that this is that day is the truth. A third opinion is, that is the day of the right, or يعني الحقوق. The rights. That is the day of rights. In other words, all the people who were wronged will be given their rights on that day. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ الْحَقِّ. You're going to get all your rights, everybody that was wronged. And a fourth opinion, Ibn Ashur, he has an interesting opinion. He says that the Arabs would say that, you know, let's say if a certain tribe won, They would say, you know, that day when they won, that was their day. That was the day of tribe Fulan, you know, so-and-so. That was the day, that was their day, right? And we even say this in English. And so, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ يعني يوم الحق, meaning, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي يَحِقُّ لَهُ, as in, that is the day, the one who has a right to be demanded, or a better way of saying it is, that's the day where rights will finally have their victory. That's the day where rights, true rights, they're going to have their day. Everybody, you know, like rights, the concept of people getting justice, justice will have its day on that day. You know, it'll be the day for justice in that sense. So it's a really interesting way of looking at it. So four different opinions, and Allah knows best. Then Allah says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. So, therefore, مَنْ شَاءَ, whoever wills, اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ, should take to his Lord a way of return. So let's break this down one by one. The fa here is very interesting. What's the connection between the beginning and the end? Like, why would you say this is the day of truth, and so therefore, because it's the day of truth, whoever wills, whoever wants to, let him take his Lord as a his Lord as a way of return. What's the connection between the two? So, wallahu alam, it seems to be saying that for those who claim faith, anybody who's claiming that they have iman on the inside, they must have a certain reality. As in, what is that reality? Walk the path. In other words, this Yawm al-Haq is a day of reality. This is the day of truth. This is going to happen. This is where all the truth is going to be revealed. So because this day is a reality, if you are an honest person, and if you really have your iman, then be a person of true faith and actually walk that path. Don't just claim it, actually walk it. And what's even more telling about this is that Allah Ta'ala used the word or the verb ittakhadha. Allah could have said akhadha. Akhadha means take the path. In English, akhadha, take the path. Ittakhadha, take the path. What's the difference? Ittakhadha indicates that it's an arduous journey. You're taking it with a lot of effort. It's not like, I don't know, picking up a piece of paper and putting it in your pocket. Yeah, no problem. I took it. No, that's akhadha. I just took it. But something that takes effort, ittakhadha. Put in that effort. So Allah is saying what? Because that day is real, then if you really have faith, then be real about it and really demonstrate it by actually walking that arduous path towards your Lord, because your Lord is the way of return. Now, what's also interesting is the word he. فَمَنْ شَاءَ. شَاءَ, who is the one who's willing? It could go back, it could refer back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it could refer back to the individual himself. So it could be translated in two ways. So he who will may take to his Lord a way of return. He who will, whoever wants to, he can take to his Lord a way of return. That's one interpretation. Another way of saying it is, so whoever he, Allah Ta'ala, allows, can take his Lord as a way of return. And both meanings are true. In other words, if you have the niyyah, and if Allah Ta'ala gives you the acceptance, tawfiq, yani, if Allah Ta'ala gives you the success, then because both have willed it, you want it, and Allah Ta'ala allows you, then you will take the path. You cannot do it on your own. You can't arrogantly say, you know, I'm going to be guided because I feel like it. No, you have to humbly beg for guidance. And if Allah accepts, and if you are sincere, then both keys have been turned, figuratively speaking, and then, of course, you can get guidance. So it's amazing that this, in such brief words, Allah Ta'ala uses a sentence that has two meanings, and both reinforce each other to give a correct aqidah or creed or a belief system. Yes. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. This sentence is both positive and negative reinforcements, because it's glad tidings and a threat at the same time. It's glad tidings to those who do take their Lord as a return, because you're going to be saved from the horrors on that day. And it's a threat to those who don't, because they've been warned fully. And this word ma'ab, a place of return, a place to return to, Allah Ta'ala is ultimately the place that we, or excuse me, I should say, the one that we constantly return to. This is what tawbah means, to constantly turn back, return to your Lord, keep thinking about your Lord, keep remembering your Lord, repenting to your Lord. This is the natural fitrah of the human being. This word ma'ab was also used in ayah number 22 of the same surah, لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا, implying what? That there's two groups here. The group that keeps turning back to his Lord, and the one who keeps on turning back to transgression, right? And this is the distinction being made here. The one who sins, because he went beyond all bounds, you know, you play with fire, you get burnt. And you should have learned from it, but he went back again. But he went back again. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا. Because he kept going back to evil in this dunya, Allah is saying, you're going to be thrown into the fire. You're going to get burnt. And guess what? When you try to climb out, you're going to get thrown back again. And again, and again. Why? Because that's the same way you were in dunya. You never learn from your mistakes? Good. You don't want to learn? Fine. Keep going. So that's the ma'ab. That's the place of return for the evil one who keeps returning back to his tughyan, to his transgression, ayah number 22. And this ayah, the one who keeps sinning but turning back to his Lord, turning back to his Lord. Repentance. Repentance again and again. So the contrast is there in ayah number 22 and 39. A place of return implies that from Allah we all came, and our natural return place, our natural return or a place of comfort is with Him alone. So returning to Allah implies repentance, good deeds, and obedience to Allah. There's many ayat that are like this. Allah says, "Inna hadhihi tadhkirah, faman sha'a ittakhadha ila rabbihi sabila." Indeed, this is a reminder. So he who wills may take to his Lord a way. Yes. Then final ayah, inshallah, ayah number 40. Allah says, "Inna anzarnakum adhaban qariba, yawma yanzuru al-mar'u ma qaddamat yadah wa yaqulu al-kafiru ya laytani kuntu turaba." Indeed, we have warned you of a near punishment on the day when a man will observe what his hands have put forth, and the disbeliever will say, "Oh, I wish I were dust." So, you have the double emphasis on the royal we. Allah speaking in a great royal we. "Inna anzarnakum." The nahnu, the na is mentioned twice here, meaning we. It is indeed we. Allah Ta'ala is stressing this royal we. "Inna anzarna," indeed we are the ones who have warned you. In other words, this is not coming from a human. You think this Quran is from Muhammad? Allah is saying, we are the ones warning you. This is a direct warning. Stop. You know, remember the surah began. "Amma yatasa'aluna 'ani naba'il 'azim." They're just like, I wonder, I have guesses, I think this, I think that. Allah is warning you directly. Don't take this as a joke. I don't care about your, I have this opinion, that opinion. Allah is saying, I'm telling you, I'm warning you very directly. "Inna anzarnakum adhaban qariba," of a punishment that is near, it is close. Adhaban qariba could refer to a number of things. Allah was describing earlier, paralleling when Allah Ta'ala said the sa. Sayya'lamun, that they're going to know. The sa here, the scene, it's not sofa. Sofa means deep into the future. Sa means soon you're gonna know. Now at the end of the surah, Allah is saying, you're gonna know qariba, it's close. So you can see the parallel. The beginning of the surah said, no, you're soon gonna know. And the end of the surah is saying what? It's something near. So you see another parallel. And this is always the case in the Quran. The beginning, the end, you find these parallels. Anyway, what could this refer to? This near punishment? It could refer to the punishment that the disbelievers suffered in Mecca. Don't worry, you're going to get your punishment. When you attack the Muslims, they're going to wipe you out, and all the heads of Quraysh and all of your evil, you're going to be killed on that day, which of course they were. This could be a reference to the punishment of the grave. Why? Because everybody is close to death. At any minute, we could have a heart attack, get hit by a car, die. And so therefore, you can have the punishment of the grave. This could be a reference to Judgment Day, which may be far away in terms of the number of days, but relative to the age of the universe, subhanAllah, perhaps it's very close. We have no idea. And in fact, even the concept of close is relative to perspective. For Allah's perspective, Allah says, "Innahum yaronahu ba'ida wa narahu qariba." They see it as something distant, but we see it as something near. Allah sees the big picture and says, you're close. You have no idea. You guys are deluded thinking you have forever. SubhanAllah. And I have conversations with people. It's amazing how much people think, I have time, I'm going to live forever. You know, people are in their 30s. They're like, I don't think I'm ready for marriage. I'm like, when are you going to have kids? When you're 50s? Like, what are you talking about? It's so bizarre. People have this delusional concept of time. Our perspective, and when we are finally on that day, our perspective will be kicked into gear, because Allah Ta'ala says, كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. It will be on that day when they finally see it, as though they had not remained in this dunya except for an afternoon or a morning. Can you imagine this whole dunya and everything you ran around, this whole world and everything you were chasing? You feel like it was literally a day? You're like, who cares? It's like waiting at the bus stop or something. Like, you don't care. It's just, I'm just waiting. It's no big deal. Continuing the ayah, Allah says, يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. The day that a man will observe what his hands have put forth. So what type of man is this referencing? Number one, it could be any man. Every man will see what they put forth. The believer sees their good deeds, the disbeliever sees their evil deeds. This seems to be the most standard position. Al-mar'u means just any man. However, some say, no, it's the disbeliever, because he sees his deeds while the believer sees Allah's rahmah, not their own deeds. So this is al-mar'u, here's a reference to the disbeliever. That's one opinion. But a third opinion is, no, it's actually the believer. Why? It's a really interesting perspective. يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ. That's why. Because Allah is saying, the day where a man, as in the good man, will see what he has done, he'll be able to analyze his deeds, referring to the believer, and then switching topics, and the disbeliever will be saying, I wish I was dust. I don't even want to see my deeds. Even looking at it, I know I'm done. So they say, that's one opinion, that's the contrast. That the good guy is saying, I can see my deeds. The bad guy is saying, I don't want to see, just turn me to dust. Forget about it, I don't want nothing. So three different opinions, and they all seem very valid and very interesting. The ma here, يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ, could be ma al-mawsoola or ma al-istifhamiya. So the way that would break down is, one sentence could be, on that day, a man will observe what his hands have put forth. And another way of translating it is, on that day, when a man will observe What has his hands put forth? So one is a statement, one is a question. And the difference is, like, so the difference is what? The first one is you get to see what you did. And the second one is you get to see, and you're asking or you're wondering, what was the result of what I did? You see the difference? And both of them support one another. So not only will you see your deeds on that day, yes, but then you'll see, oh, and by the way, the deeds that you did, here is the snowball effect. And you get to see if that was a snowball effect towards good or evil. SubhanAllah. And it could be both, depending on believer, disbeliever. Can you imagine? People build, put a few bricks in this masjid, and they get to see how much ajr they get. How amazing. And other people, SubhanAllah, they just encourage, I don't know, some bad behavior. The guy ends up going to the club and getting, into an accident or becoming an addict. SubhanAllah, snowball effect. So both could be applicable, and Allah knows best. قدمت يداه, putting what your hands put forth, refers to what you've been sending forth into the archive, what the angels have been recording, as was mentioned in ayah number 27 of this very same surah. But it also could refer to what? What your hands put forth could be when your life flashes before your eyes during death. I'm sure we've all heard people say this, man, I was in a car accident and in 1 second my whole life flashed before my eyes. I saw everything that I did. I saw everything my whole life in front of me. قدمت يداه, everything my hands put forth. It could be reference to that as you're dying. It could be the disbeliever seeing his scale on judgment day. I get to see what my deeds are. It could be the disbeliever seeing his book of deeds on judgment day. And of course, this word, قدمت يداه, was originally, this expression, was originally referring to the farmers who used to plant seeds with their hands because they won't see the fruits until later. This is further emphasized when Allah says, وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ, and even the word kafir can mean a farmer, because what do? They plant a seed and then cover it up. That's the root of this term, a coverer, somebody who covers up. In Islam, Islamic istilahan or terminology, it implies the one who covers up the truth. Yes, so Allah Ta'ala says many ayat that are related to this. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا, that the day every soul will find what it has done of good present before it, and what it has done of evil, it will wish that between itself and that evil was a great distance. So Allah Ta'ala has many ayat emphasizing this point. We all know the ayah, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Whoever does an atom's weight of good, he's going to see it. Anybody who does an atom's weight of evil is going to see it. And then, final sentence inshallah, Allah says, وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. And the disbeliever will say, oh, how I wish I was dust. This could be a reference to, I have four different possibilities. Number one, before resurrection, right, they died, they turned into dust. Everything, right, rotted away. And so they're like, man, why'd you resurrect me? I was so happy. I lived my life. I did all my crimes. I thought I turned to dust, no accountability. I was good with that. I didn't want to be, like, evaluated. I thought it was all going to be buried. Just that's it. It's the past. You know, no records. Everything dies. Leave me alone. That's what they were hoping for. That's number one. Number two is they'll wish that they were destroyed like the animals. And we know this. The Prophet says a number of hadith. لَتُؤَدُّنَّ الْحُقُوقَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُقَادَ لِلشَّاتِ الْجَلْحَاءِ مِنَ الشَّاتِ الْقَرْنَاءِ, that the claimant would get their claim on resurrection, so much so that the hornless sheep would get its claim from the horned sheep. Another hadith, يَقْضِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ خَلْقِهِ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالْبَهَائِمِ, that Allah will judge between His creation, the jinn, the humans, and the animals. وَإِنَّهُ لَيُقِيدُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْجَمَّاءِ مِنَ الْقَرْنَاءِ, that even to the point that He will make the hornless animal retaliate against the horned animal. حتى إذا لم تبقى تبعة عند واحدة واحدة لأخرى, until there doesn't remain a single responsibility that one person owes to another. And then قال الله, then Allah will say, كونوا ترابا, become dust, all you animals. Now that everything's been done, justice, and all of humanity witnessed it, just to see how perfect Allah's justice is. I mean, can you imagine justice between two ants, between squirrels? You know what I mean? Like, everything was accounted for. We get to watch the whole thing. And then Allah says, see, perfection, now turn to dust. Now you know how perfect my system is. SubhanAllah. So then, kunu turaban, Allah Ta'ala commands them to become dust. فَعِنْدَ ذَلِكَ يَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ, so at that moment, the disbeliever will say, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا, oh, I wish I was dust. On that time, the disbeliever says, I wish I was dust. So that's a second meaning. The third meaning is, they are saying, I wish I was lowly and humble. يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مُتَوَاضِعًا فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ أَكُنْ مُتَكَبِّرًا مُتَمَرِّدًا. Oh, how I wish I was humble, like lowly in the ground, praying, prostrating, putting my face down, instead of being arrogant and rebellious. And the fourth meaning, and this is really cool, I really appreciated this one. When I came across it, I was like, oh man, look at that, I never thought of that. SubhanAllah, sometimes you come across something, completely new angle. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ الْكَافِرُ, Lam al-Ahd. Allah is saying the kafir. Now we always think that this is referring to any kafir, any particular one, right? But who's the biggest kafir? Iblis, exactly, right? Iblis, number one kafir, right? So it could be that Allah is saying, وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ, that the number one kafir, the disbeliever, Iblis, he's going to say what? يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. What an interesting statement for Iblis to say. Why? Because Iblis is the one who said what? خَلَقَتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقَتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. You created me from fire. I'm better. I'm not going to bow down to him. So the idea is what? Iblis, when he sees the reward of Adam going to paradise, the guy he hated the most, when he sees the children of Adam and all the believers going to paradise, he's like, weren't these the mud people? I hate these mud people. You know, he's like, I can't stand these mud people. I thought I was so much better than them. And then finally, when everything is concluded, the number one kafir himself, Mr. Iblis, who thought he was guaranteed better because I'm better than this mud. It's embarrassment. Embarrassing to bow down to mud. No way. I'll never submit to these people. I'll never acknowledge them as better. Finally, he has to say what? Yeah, laytani kuntu turaba. I wish I was mud too. This whole, now, it's a bit of a strange perspective because he didn't have to be mud. He didn't have to be human to be righteous. He just had to be obedient to Allah. But maybe he's so twisted in his mind that he thinks it's either team jinn or team human. And if I can't be team jinn, then I should have been team human. Instead of getting the real point, which is what? Be team believer, regardless of jinn or human. Like, he's still thinking in racist terms, is my point. He's still thinking that it boils down to, you know, which one's better, fire or turab. Anyway, Allah on him. It's an interesting concept. Final points is what? That the terms ya laytani occur 14 times in the Quran. I'm not going to go through all 14 now, but I just thought it's interesting. Ya laytani, 14 times people say, oh, I wish, oh, I regret, oh my goodness. So it's really an interesting theme to look into maybe in the future, inshallah ta'ala. It's also interesting that humans are made of dirt and that, and yet Allah ta'ala fashioned them and designed them into human beings. And the disbelievers are the ones who deny the fashioner. They deny the designer. They deny that Allah is al-musawwir. And amazingly, they'll wish that they can be without design. They're like, I wish you would just turn me back into dirt, no design whatsoever. Didn't you deny your design? SubhanAllah, it's just a really interesting parallel. There are many ayat similar to this in Surah Haqqa, ayah number 27. Ya laytaha kanat al-qadiyah. Oh, I wish my death had been the decisive one. I wish when I died the first time, that was it. Why did you bring me back? And another ayah, Allah says what? يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَعَصَوُوا الرَّسُولَ لَوْ تُسَوَّى بِهِمُ الْأَرْضُ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا. That day those who disbelieved and disobeyed the messenger will wish they could be covered by the earth and they will not conceal from Allah a single statement. So subhanAllah, they'll wish they can go back to dirt. And just the final point is that the ring structure, as we always talk about, we talk about the five different parts and how each of the five parts had their own ring structure. This is the fifth section about Judgment Day. It started with رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا. The disbelievers had no right to speak, ayah number 37. And then ayah number 40 is what? The disbelievers has no right to leave. You know, إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِبًا يَوْمَ يَنظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. Can I leave? So, can't talk, can't leave. So there's a parallel between those two. And then the two in the middle is 38 and 39. You see the micro scale and then the macro scale. On the micro scale, every word will be true. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفًّا لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. Every word, every utterance on that day on the micro scale will be exactly right. And then ayah number 39 on the macro scale, the entire day will be truth. Not forget about every little word, the entire day, macro scale, it's all truth. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. The whole day is the truth itself. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. So this is a small one, but it's still something interesting and Allah knows best. And so with that, inshallah ta'ala, jazakallah khairan, walhamdulillah, may Allah accept from us that we spent these past 3 years going over, subhanAllah, 20 pages, 3 years, 20 pages of Juz Amma, roughly. So may Allah accept from us, and inshallah, hopefully we'll continue with Juz Tabarak after the month of Ramadan, bi-ithnillah. After the month of Ramadan, we'll take a bit of break, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. We'll continue, of course, with Surah Mursalat. And of course, we open up for comments and questions. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.